Hi, guys. This is Nacho with the Nacho Show. The importance of safe elections is sacred to us here in the United States of America. Voting and counting those votes in an accurate way is demanded by everyone. Sharing the information on how those votes were counted and who counted them, as well as the outcome of those counts, in is public records, and every citizen has and should have access to those records. If anyone in the government demands a fee to see those records, then we are seeing corruption, and that should be punished. This and more here at The Nacho Show. Hi, guys, and welcome to the Nacho Show today. We have a very, very interesting show today, and I do have a guest with me, and his name is Toby Mileski. How are you, Toby?
I'm good, Nacho. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here. It's definitely fantastic to have you. And it's just for everybody to know, Mr. Mileski, he is running currently for auditor clerk for the Weber County Commission. Is that correct?
Yeah. So yeah, it's the correct title is Weber County Clerk Auditor.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yep. You said it better than me.
No worries.
Okay. Well, this is fantastic. You know, first of all, I just would like to congratulate you for your endeavors and everything that you have done in the past. You also were a Pleasant View mayor?
Yes. I served as mayor of Pleasant View City about 6 years ago now. And that was quite an experience. And that was after I served on the city council. And I can tell you, Nacho, that I recommend to everybody out there listening needs to run for city council in their city and do their part for service, because there is no better way to have a voice in local government than in your city.
Agree. And I'm sure you will be able to learn how government works and, you know, all those great things and how things are organized. So, yeah, definitely. And everybody, you know, especially if you have great common sense, and I'm going to say that, you know, very, very openly, you have to have great common sense and being able to help the community in that, you know, part of the spectrum in politics, then you will be able to learn how the system works. Then you will be able to proclaim, you know, your conservative values that you have learned, you know, throughout your life in order to serve your community.
Correct.
So you mentioned also in our previous conversation over the phone that you are a Roman Catholic. Is that correct?
Yeah. I was raised Catholic. Yes. Yeah, I was raised Catholic.
That's fantastic. And, you know, and a couple of episodes ago, I had here in the show a Baptist, a non-denominational Christian pastor. And we were talking about religious freedom. And it was really nice to hear from him the fact that, you know, we have to be united as religious individuals in order to proclaim the word of God, you know, and in order to grasp ourselves, you know, because if we do that, then we will be able to build a better world for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Regardless of your religious views, you have to respect the other person, and I will respect yours.
Absolutely.
And with that, we can get along and we can do great things, not only in our cities, our counties, but our country.
Absolutely. And you know, and those are the foundations that this country was formed on. Does that make
Absolutely.
Sense? And I appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here. Now let's go to the nitty gritty of the topic here, which is, you know, your job as an auditor. You know, things that you will be doing, your experience. Experiences, you know, throughout, you know, being a mayor of Pleasant View City here in Utah, and Well, maybe after our first the first segment after the commercial break, we can talk more about what have you seen within you know all of the issues in regards of voting and elections and things like that. So
sure, we can do that.
Go ahead and talk to us more about your experience as a mayor. You know, what have you encountered? What type of things did you learn?
I learned that the status quo really exists.
Yeah.
And it was hard fighting that. And I really worked hard to try and make changes to the system. For example, one of my things as mayor was to really try and save my taxpayers and my residents money.
Right.
I looked at a couple of things that we could actually change. You still have to have staff for water. You still got to pick up the garbage. You got to still take the sewer out of the city and that kind of thing. So I really looked at from an auditor standpoint of what I could really change and a cost savings. So I looked at lawn care, of mowing the parks. Could we do it at a better price and get a better product for less money by contracting it out? And in Pleasant View, because of our park system at that time, when we had water to water the grass, we were mowing the grass two times a week, because we had soccer games, baseball games, softball games, all kinds of activities in the park. And after I put out some feelers, talked to some private landscape companies, it would actually cost us more money than having our staff do it. So I nixed that idea. Mm-hmm. One of the other problems I experienced as mayor is our roads are the biggest expense that a city has. You know, we live in a winter climate. They crack, they freeze, they separate, they fall apart, and it's expensive to fix them. So we looked at crack sealing. So I went back and looked at what the city had paid previously for crack sealing and the area and the distance that covered. Well, then I looked at what our employees were doing in the early spring and late fall when they weren't doing lawns and they weren't removing snow. And I realized we had this segment of time where they were just picking things up and making things look nice. Mm-hmm. So what I looked into was purchasing a crack seal machine, which I explained it to the council and laid it all out. And we did purchase the crack seal machine, so we could crack seal in the spring and in the fall when we weren't busy doing other projects to try and get the biggest bang for our buck. And our cost for per foot of crack seal went way down, and we got more done in a timely manner, and use the resources that the city was already paying for, which were the wages of our employees. And that's what I want to bring to the county auditor section is that same type of mentality, and look at ways we can save money. And that's called a performance audit, which requires the approval of the legislative body of the county.
Correct. Yeah, that is great. So now that you mentioned the preservation of water, in the city of Pleasant View. Now we've been having a lot of problems now, you know, with our current government within the state. In previous years after the pandemic, it has been instructed for everybody that brown is the new green, you know, like that, you know, having our grass look brown and yellow, it's supposed to look a whole lot better than green. So I would have to disagree with that, and maybe you can clear things up there for me, because we have to preserve water. I mean, I totally get it, you know, we have to be mindful of our sources and everything like that. But what was the idea behind the governor to say such thing?
I can't speak for what the governor was thinking or is not thinking. from a personal standpoint, when I was mayor, we had a serious culinary water problem in our city. We actually had a moratorium on building for probably 18 months to 2 years, because we could not supply enough culinary water for any new houses to be built. And so we had to drill a new well, and then ended up purchasing water from an outside source in order to let the city to continue to develop. So water is a precious resource. We live in a desert. If you don't need grass, I'm taking out some of my park strips on my properties. I'm planting, putting rock, bark, planting some trees. If it's not necessary, I say don't water it. That's me. But green looks a whole lot better than brown. I will tell you that. I agree with you on that, Nacho.
and that's for sure, you know. And there's so much that you know we can talk about our current government, and I don't know how much you agree with our governor on things that he's doing, you know, yes or no. But me as a citizen of Utah, you know, I'm a Utahn. Obviously, I'm an immigrant, but I'm a Utahn at heart.
we're all immigrants at some point.
Yeah, that is right. So talk to us more about what is it that you would like to accomplish as an auditor clerk for Weber County?
So for the auditor part, if we're going to cover the clerk stuff after the break, I'll keep it separated if that's good. So from the auditor standpoint, like I had mentioned, I really want to go in and look at the economy, efficiency, and effectiveness of the operation, which is listed in state statute, to show what we're doing is the best way to do it at the most cost-effective way for the taxpayers. I mean, the Weber County budget is over $250 million. That is a lot of money, Nacho.
That is a lot.
And and I, as a taxpayer, I believe I deserve to know how that money is being spent, where it's being spent, and is that money effective? We spend money right now, and I'm going to give you an example. This is just a complete example. And I don't really have a major opinion on it one way or another, but we are paying from a county standpoint, an economic business cooperative advertising joint venture with Davis County, to try and bring businesses into the area, Weber County, Davis County. Ogden City has their own economic development director to bring businesses into Ogden. And Weber County has an economic business development director inside the county as well. And all the cities within the county have some sort of economic development department. And so I think it could be consolidated, changed a little bit. And that's just one of the areas that just was on the top of my head.
Excellent. I think that's a great thing, you know, joining forces, you know, between counties. I think Davis County, you know, has, you know, fantastic development, not just for businesses, Davis County is growing tremendously. Weber County, I mean, I feel a lot of pride, you know, for Weber County and everything that, you know, that Weber County represents, you know, having the university and having great companies like Market Star, you know, which, you know, I used to be employed with them, you know, before in the past, you know, and everything that, you know, all of the business that Ogden attracts, you know, it's just amazing, you know, to me. And I feel very grateful for everything that the county does. Well, and
absolutely.
Go ahead.
And look at the new Ogden, what was the bus rapid transit, but I think they're going to call it the Ogden Express now.
Oh.
That's going to take you from the 23rd Street station at UTA, and that rapid transit is going to run up to Weber State and loop on a continuous basis. So now you can shuttle from Weber State to downtown super easy and
nice.
On a really good schedule. And I believe that is going to make a big difference in businesses that want to come here, people that want to come and visit and spend money in our county, which helps us as a taxpayer because it helps supplement our tax dollars and we don't have to pay as much. And it boosts our economy for all the small business owners like myself, you know, that we're able to thrive. And you as a small business owner as well are able to thrive and do more because we have more people coming in. And why shouldn't we take advantage of our great ski hills and our recreation and our and advertise that like crazy.
Exactly. Yeah, I love it. I love it. And like I said, I just love Weber County, you know, and it is fantastic. And, you know, I'm super happy to live here. So as you are progressing, you know, within your campaign, you know, as an auditor clerk, what has been, well, I guess we can jump onto that on our next segment. You know, that would be like more into depth, but what is it that you are looking for, once you get elected?
What I'm looking for is to actually make common sense changes. Like you'd said, and that's what it takes is common sense. I want to look at the problems that we're experiencing in the clerk's office with the elections, the election mm-hmm. security, the transparency, the grammar reports, all that kind of stuff. I want to really look into and really make a change in that. And it's the same with the audits. I want to do these audits. I want to show that it is effective or it is not effective, mm-hmm. present it to the commission and ask for a change so the people can actually see and make that process transparent. This is where the money is being spent, and here is the result. Mm-hmm. Good or bad. Let's change it together and move forward. And that's what I'm about, is I see an opportunity to move our county forward, to make us better. And honestly, I'd like to see us be number one in the state.
Absolutely. And that is fantastic. So what is also, okay, so the job of us an auditor is basically to you know, count the votes, you know, whenever, you know, elections are into effect. Also an auditor, and you can clarify this, you know, more since you're running for an auditor. So would you be taking all of the financials? Is it kind of like the treasurer, or how, what's the difference?
Yeah, so the clerk helps prepare the budget and that kind of things and pays bills. The biggest thing on from the auditing, not necessarily the auditor doesn't necessarily count the votes. The clerk's office and the elections department counts the votes. Mm-hmm. But from an auditor's perspective, absolutely would we need and should be auditing the election, the results and the process, and making that public and transparent so the people can see how it was started, how it progressed, and how it finished, and the results, and make that available mm-hmm. to everybody.
Okay.
How the machines were everything from how the machines were calibrated to how the votes were collected and cast, and everything from an audit perspective in regards to that election process.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's actually a movie that's I think it has already went out. It's called 2000 Mules. Have you watched it yet?
I've watched about the first 25% of that, and I'm yet to get back to it. And I can tell you, I need to finish it, because it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what was happening.
Wow. So is it, well, it's out. Yeah. I haven't watched it. So you have to have the Daily Wire to access to that movie, or?
I actually was sent a link where it was free, and I don't have it on me, and so I started watching it that way. But it was incredible.
Wow.
It was scary. It makes you wonder really what is going on behind the scenes.
Wow. And you know what? And that's, you know, one of the reasons, you know, why I mentioned it in the beginning of the podcast, you know, like how grateful I am for you. You know, you have your religious background, and because of that, you know, you do have a sense of integrity and honesty. You know, obviously, you know, we do have individuals in government that, you know, they have their religious background, but they're not honest. Like, and I'm gonna say it, like our governor, I don't think he's very honest whatsoever. I think he's really listening to the wrong crowd, and he's really not being he's really not supporting the citizens.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, is I realize who I'm going to represent, and that's the taxpayers of Weber County across the board. It's everybody. So if you're a taxpayer of Weber County, then you're the boss. I'm doing this because I want to make a difference. I'm not looking for a job. I've got plenty to do. Believe me, I've got plenty to do, but I want to make a difference. Sure. I see the opportunity to make that difference. And that's why I'm doing this.
That's excellent. Excellent. So can you please remind me when are the elections? Is that we have like a couple more weeks and then we'll be able to vote?
Correct. Correct. So the election actually is June 28th. And the ballots get mailed starting June 7th. Mm-hmm. So maybe between June 8th, 9th, and 10th, the ballots are going to hit your mailboxes.
And okay.
You'll need to fill them out, mail them in, drop them off at a ballot box, or take them into the county election to the county clerk's office and drop them there.
Nice. That is fantastic. So I don't know. I just have so many questions here. You know, see, counting the votes. So can you, like, can anybody just go into the auditor's office and see how they're counting the votes? Can anybody do that?
Yeah. To the clerk's office.
Yeah,
you can, they invite quite a few people in to watch that. It's not, it's not a revolving door, of course, for security purposes. I've never went and watched them count the votes, but I've seen the results of the elections having been previously an elected official and kind of seen how that process works and had a tour 8-10 years ago, something like that. But yeah, the public is invited to watch that process. And there are poll watchers from both sides, Republican, Democrat, Independent, that are able to come in and watch that process. And so they can see and have different eyes on it.
Right. Yeah, because that definitely would be super interesting to go and see, you know, how everything is being done. You know, like now, you know, the 2000 mules video kind of like it makes you wonder, you know, what the heck is going on behind doors, you know, whenever that happens. And even before, you know, there were some videos flowing around, and obviously Facebook with its fact checkers, you know, sure. Saying that, well, it was just something else, you know. And anyway, so now before we go to break, I'm just going to ask you, you know, like a general question.
Sure.
Here out of the blue. Do you think, because this is a very big thing. So do you think that as far as voting is concerned, we have the mail-in ballots, and you know, we can go also in person, you know, to vote. Do you think that there should be another way to actually being able to count the votes safer and faster? What do you think?
When we talk about the ballot and voting, I believe that the safest way to vote and cast your vote to make it the most secure is in person, showing a valid ID. So we know, the poll worker knows that you are who you are and your vote has been cast. The problem that with an all mail-in or mail-out ballot that we have now is that if you want to go vote in person, it's a provisional ballot because a ballot has already been sent to you. So now there's a lot of work to determine if you voted twice or you tried to vote twice. So with the in-person voting, that is the most secure way to make sure that you, the proper voter, voted in the election. Now, granted, there are people who don't want to show up in person to vote. They like the mail, or they just can't get to the polling place or an early polling place. So they need to have that option, because the state statute says there's several options that the voter may vote by. And one of them is by mail. My proposal would be that we secure that mail ballot by a portal where if you wanted to vote by mail, then you have to request it, just like they did back in the day with the absentee ballots. Yeah. And that gives the clerk's office enough time to verify you are who you are and you live at that address and you are a registered voter in Weber County and living in Weber County.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
And then that way we're able to track those a little bit better. One of the things I found out when I was going door to door to the registered Republican voters is as I was knocking on the doors, there were many times, and actually every day of the 12 days I was out, I found ballots going to homes where the people no longer lived. They'd either moved, the kids had moved out, parents had passed away, spouses had passed away, the house was sold, the tenants moved. For whatever reason, the ballots were still getting mailed there. Well, that's a security problem with that ballot. Yeah. So that right there makes the election unsecure.
Agree. And I really like that, what you said about if you want a mail-in ballot, you have to request it.
Absolutely.
I'm
going like to request the mail-in ballot because it's easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be a problem. Everybody's got a bank account for the most part. So that means they've got to have an ID.
Correct.
So, you know, in my bank, you know, sometimes when I do something, you got to get a code. You got to put the code in and enter this other security feature.
Yeah.
Why can't you request a mail-in ballot like
that? And I would say kind of like enter your driver license number here.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, in order for you to be able to identify yourself. Now, I was born and raised in Mexico, voting down there. I mean, even though there's so much behind doors that happens, but you know, people are very, very, very jealous of voting. Like they're very protective about that.
Sure.
And I'm gonna tell you know something pretty interesting. There in national TV there are commercials that are published of obtaining your ID. You know, once you are 18 years old, then they're like, yeah, you have to have your ID now. Go call 1-800 blah 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 if you don't have an ID. So they stress that tremendously.
Sure.
You know, and even though if you are abroad, you will find that, you know, Mexicans, you know, abroad, they want to go and cast their votes, you know, and they go to their nearest consulate and, you know, and cast their vote because democracy is very important the same way that it is for us here in America. Sure. Now, I really am, you know, tempted to go into a Mexican store and actually interview individuals and ask them about this and let them know, hey, you know what, so do you think having an ID is racist or showing an ID to vote is racist? I'm sure they're going to say, oh, heck no, it's not. Yeah. It doesn't have to do anything with that.
It has nothing to do with that. We just want to, I mean, my goal, when I say we, I think all of us voters, we want to make sure that you are who you are when you vote. That's it.
Correct.
Every vote counts. Every vote counts, Nacho.
Exactly. Yep. 100% agree with you. So let's go ahead and go to a commercial break and then we will be right back. Remember, folks, this is The Nacho Show.
Nacho Graphics is a professional graphic design company that offers unlimited graphic design services to small, medium, and large businesses. We pride ourselves on providing high-quality, affordable design services that are customized to meet the specific needs of our clients. Our team of talented designers is passionate about creating unique, eye-catching designs that will help your business stand out from the competition. Whether you need a new logo or marketing materials, we will work with you to create a custom solution that fits your needs and exceeds your expectations. At Nacho Graphics, we understand that each company has different graphic design needs. That's why we offer an unlimited graphic design service that can be customized to fit the specific needs of your business. We believe that great design should be accessible to all businesses, regardless of size. So, if you're looking for a graphic design company that can provide you with high-quality custom designs at an affordable price, look no further than Nacho Graphics. Contact us today to learn more about our unlimited graphic design services and how we can help your business grow. Check out our website, www.nachographics.com, or call 801-869-0523.
As a small business owner, you know that having a website is crucial to your success. But what you may not know is that designing and developing a website can be expensive. That's where Solidify Web comes in. Solidify Web offers affordable website design and development that will produce a website that is clean and tailored to fit your business needs. Plus, we offer search engine optimization services to help you obtain top rankings for your desired search terms, driving qualified leads to your site. Creating a website for your business is one of the most important things you can do in today's economy. Your website is your storefront and first impression for many potential customers. It is crucial that you have a clean, fresh, and well-designed website that represents your business the best way possible. We can create a stunning website for you that is both easy to use and navigate and ranks high in search engines. Contact us today to learn more about how we can help you take your business to the next level. As a physician, Dr. Robinson personally treated thousands of patients for their accident-related injuries, and as such, has an in-depth understanding of your physical complaints and injuries. It was at this time that Dr. Robinson discovered the difficulties of dealing with auto insurance companies. We know how difficult it can be for someone to handle their own case. Our personal injury law firm is dedicated to helping others navigate the difficulties involved in auto accident injuries, slip and fall injuries, brain injuries, trucking accidents, dog bite injuries, pedestrians and wrongful death cases. Why handle it alone? You can now have a law firm with not only legal experience, but also medical experience. Our attorneys and staff are focused on achieving the best possible outcome for you. Get what you deserve. At the Robinson Injury Law, you will be able to speak directly with your attorney. You may be just a number with other law firms and auto insurance companies, but at Robinson Injury Law, your case is our priority. Robinson Injury Law. Helping accident injury victims is all we do. Call today for a free consultation to see if you have a case. Utah 801-845-HURT 4878.
The Elliott Group Way is a philosophy to elevate the merchant services industry and increase the trust factor between merchants and processors by offering consultative, local, and proactive customer care to help you grow your business and reach your goals. We do things differently around here. Not only do we provide top-level products and services that work, we are your partner and ensure you affordable merchant services with our best rate guarantee. On top of that, we offer next day funding so you can have peace of mind knowing your money will be in the bank quickly. When you choose EMG, you're choosing a partner that cares about your success. Let us show you the EMG way today. We also offer next day funding so you can get your money as soon as possible. In addition, we offer a cash discount program so you can save money on your merchant services. So, if you're looking for an effective merchant services company that can provide you with low fees, contact us today to learn more about our merchant services at 801-362-2968.
All right, guys, and welcome back to the Nacho Show. This is Ignacio Valdez here, and we have a special guest here with us, Toby Mileski, who is running for county Weber. Okay, it's Weber County Clerk or Auditor. Auditor. Clerk.
No, yeah, Clerk Auditor.
Clerk Auditor. Okay, there you go. I was close. All right. Well,
forward or backwards, it's the same.
Forward. It's going to be the same job, right?
Yes, sir.
That's fantastic. Okay, well, like I said, thanks so much for being here. So in this segment, we will go ahead and talk more about the issues that have been going on, issues that you have seen, and feel free to be very transparent and open about the issues, because everybody needs to know about this. As citizens, we know. So one thing, well, gosh, and I think I'm going to start with the one thing that bothers me the most is the fact that you have to pay to see public records. What's going on with that?
So there's been a lot of that, Nacho, in addition to denying requests for public records. And having served as mayor, I can tell you, everything that is done with for the public benefit and is the public's property. So it needs to be given to them. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that should be hidden except for if someone wanted to ask about a personnel file, which contains your medical information, right? That's private. But any of the business conducted by the city, the county, the state, that is the public's property. It's public business, and it should be given to you.
I agree.
I feel there should be no charge. Absolutely 100% no charge. I believe the justification the legislature used to give the entities, the cities, the counties, and the state to charge a fee was to recoup the employees' time it took to research that information.
But honestly, they are already being paid by taxpayers, right?
Exactly. They are already getting paid. Their part of their job is to keep those records. That's the clerk's job, is to keep those records. The records are categorized, alphabetized, and probably chronologicalized. So if you wanted a document from this time to this time, boom, here's the document. Granted, if you wanted emailed correspondence between a couple individuals, it's going to take a little time for IT to extract those. But with the search engines today and the way the email systems are set up, that should be a pretty simple task.
Correct.
You search this name, you search this name, you search this phrase word. Here's what came up, Mr. Public. Here you go. Take it and have fun. There's nothing, there is nothing that should be hidden within government. It's all should be available at no cost.
Right. So it is my understanding, and you can definitely clarify this for me. There were some individuals that I know that they requested voting records, and apparently at the Capitol here in Utah, they were requested $100,000 to actually see those records.
Correct. Yep. They ended up having to take the state to court and got it reduced to, I last I heard was in the $4,000 range, and then ended up getting it for free. Those individuals also filed some requests here in Weber County. Mm-hmm. And those in regards to election terms or technology, I'm not sure exactly what the request was all about, but they were denied the request. Mm-hmm. Why were they denied the request? It's public information. Just give it to them.
Correct.
And that leads people to think that if you're not willing to give something out, you're hiding something.
Right.
No, I've got nothing to hide. Just give it. Here it is. Here's the information.
Yeah. Yeah. And I fully agree with you on that. You know, like if they want people to pay $100,000, they're crazy. There's no, you know, that means that there's a corruption government going on. Why do they want $100,000 if they already, you know, picking up a lot of money from us, you know, through taxes? And, you know,
everybody I talk to is asking that same question you are. Why do they need to charge, and why won't they just give it? What are they hiding?
Yeah.
I mean, you give it, just give it to them. Yeah. If you got nothing to hide. I mean, honestly.
Exactly. You know, because it is our right as citizens. You know, we need to know exactly, you know, how the money is being spent and what exactly is going on with that. So, yeah, it just I feel outraged, you know, at the fact that, you know, these things are being taken very, I don't know, there's an agenda behind all this. And, you know, us as a citizens, you know, we should rebuttal and we should, you know, counterattack, you know, like there are other things, you know, that I could probably mention. You know, there was an individual that was taking out of one of the public settings within the Capitol just because he had a We the People t-shirt on. And apparently that was aggressive or, you know, something, you know, and he was taken out by force.
I watched that video.
Yeah.
And it's insane. Yeah, granted, the committee needs to take care of business, but if he wasn't disrupting the meeting, but with outbursts, why would you remove the individual? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. And I don't know. I really would love to find out more about, you know, about the individuals or people that were in charge in that meeting. They should have stand up, you know, to that individual. To the police and, you know, let the individual go because he was not being disrespectful. You know, he was not doing anything else, you know, other than just sitting there with a shirt that says "with the people" and, you know, "we the people," you know, "we stand by the Constitution," and those leaders that were in charge of the meeting should have intervene. But anyway, that's just another topic right there that I wanted to to bring up. But what type of issues have you seen within our county? And like I said, feel free to be as open as possible because, you know, people really need to know. And since this is being published and right now we're live, everybody needs to know what exactly is going on. How you want to fix this?
So you know, one of the things that I've seen that's gone on is, you know, especially in the clerk's office, our current clerk, his salary from 2016 to 2021 is increased 18% because property tax, you know, the property taxes have gone up. I want to show that a property tax increase is or is not necessary and why, because I think the people deserve to know that. They need to know where that's being spent. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I see that's a problem is our voter list. I want to get in and clean that list. We've got people that have passed away. They've moved out of the county, no longer live at that address. And so as long as we have ballots being mailed to where people do not live, our election will not be secure. So that would be my first order of business, is to work on cleaning that list to make sure that those voters are still here and still eligible to vote. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, in some of the city council elections where we're mailing ballots to everybody, if you've got unsecure ballots, that could certainly change the outcome of an election. And I believe here in Ogden City, the last election cycle, one of the city council members won the election by as little as like 5 or 7 votes.
Wow.
So that margin is incredibly important, especially if your list is not accurate. And that's what we really need to do, is get that list accurate so our people are getting the ballots that they need, want, and deserve, and can get their ballots counted and their votes are counted as well.
Agree. So you mentioned also that the current auditor clerk, his salary went up for, you said 18%?
18% from 2016 to 2021.
How much money are we talking about here?
I believe it was, it went up from 156,000 and change to now about 183,000 and change, roughly. I mean, could be 183, 184, but that includes salary and benefits.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that definitely is quite a bit of change right there.
Yeah, it's a lot of coin. A lot of coin.
That's a lot of coin. So now there were other things that were mentioned to me, and maybe we can elaborate a little bit more about this. Sure. Because everybody needs to know. There was I don't know if it was a building or it was a piece of real estate that was built by Weber County, and it costed like $1 million, a million something. And that was a taxpayer money. Maybe you can clarify that for me.
I don't know which project that is. you know, if you knew the project, I might know a little bit more about it.
Okay.
I know, you know, in regards to $1 million, I know the reason for our last tax increase was $1 million for the library.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then
for operations, which where was the performance audit to show the need or the not need for that taxpayer dollars? Mm-hmm. And I think the other part of it was in regards to storm sewer. They needed more money for storm sewer, where, you know, for the stormwater management, which is not only a county problem, it's a city problem as well, through all the cities in our county, taking the water, retaining it, detaining it, moving it, getting it out, preventing floods, and everything like that. So yeah, there are some issues, and I was involved in the stormwater process back in 2015-16 time period. And mm-hmm. and there is a need to take care of that stormwater, that I can tell you, because Pleasant View, it's at that time, it still does takes water. Mm-hmm. It travels through Pleasant View, and then it kind of all ends up out west, and the delivery methods need attention. They need maintenance. We need more facilities to hold it. And as the county grows and more streets are put in, the water runs faster.
Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah, definitely. So what was the other thing that I was going to ask you? So current voting within, it is my understanding that our current auditor clerk did not allow citizens. And I don't know if a fee was trying to be collected or not. You know, the first, you know, what we talked about was, you know, at the government level, but within our Weber County situation, what has been the issue with that, you know, with our current auditor clerk?
You mean not letting people vote or
not allowing individual? Well, yeah, the same issue that we've been having, you know, like the access to public records.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I understand that. Actually, I have a bill due right now. I ordered some grammar requests, and I owe the county $50 right now.
Oh.
and now that you say that, I just remember that. But I know some grammar requests have been denied. Mm-hmm. It's public record. It needs to be seen. I mean, it needs to be seen. And as far as voting, you know, right now we're an all mail out ballot, so all our voting is done by mail.
Mm-hmm. So. What is okay? So so everybody can understand grammar. That is, I totally forgot what it meant, but it is like a subpoena, a grammar.
No, it's you know, it's a government records access management.
Action.
I can't remember, but it's open and public records act, basically. And so
okay.
That way it's the process to get records from the local government, state government, federal government. And you fill out the form, you say who you are, what you're looking for, be specific. If you're looking for certain records, and that's some of the things that I've noticed on some of the grammar requests that I have filed, is that if you don't ask specifically for a particular item or letter, you're not going to get it. If it was a general, they just give you a general response. So I've learned to be specific on those requests, and mm-hmm. and that's unfortunate. It's the public's information. Just give it up. It's transparent. Be transparent.
Yeah.
For goodness sakes.
Agree. So the grammar request is the Government Records Access and Management Act.
There you
and,
go.
And yeah, so that provides every person the right to request records from any government entity here in the state of Utah. And yeah, almost all government records are subject to this request. However, access to some records is restricted. Upon receipt of a request, the government entity will determine the classification and provide the records and or a response, which may be a notice of denial. Definitions of record. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I'm just kind of like reading through that here a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it tells you everything, you know. I guess I mean, if they want to deny anything and they want to charge money for, you know, access to public records, that's definitely wrong.
Yeah, it definitely throws up red flags for sure.
And yeah, I mean, I just, you know, me as a citizen, I don't appreciate the fact that, you know, citizens are being charged a fee, you know, $100,000. I mean, that's a lot of money.
It's crazy for public, for that. And that's for public records. I mean,
for public records. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta be transparent. And that's what I look to do in this job, is make the records transparent, make the elections transparent. And when I say the elections, I'm talking about the entire process. We cleaned up everything from, we went through the list, we removed 2,000, say, for talking purposes, 2,000 voters that we believe were no longer living in the county. Mm-hmm. We have the in-person voting. This many people voted by in person. This many people voted by mail. The ballots were counted in this fashion. This is how it was done. Here's the people who watched that process. So if you have a question about the process and you didn't like the one that came from the clerk's office, you could ask this other individual, so that people see through the whole process from beginning to end that it's all transparent and all available for anybody to look at any time. And what's interesting is at our Republican convention, I had one individual ask me, he says, how many people have to request an audit of the election before you, if you were elected clerk auditor, would do it? And I said, just one. If one person asks, we're going to do it, but we're going to do it anyways, regardless of anybody asking, and have that report available for anybody who would like to see it.
Yeah, that's definitely transparency. And I appreciate that so much. And I really, you know, we will hold you obviously accountable for that, because, I mean, we really needed somebody to be transparent, you know, just like that. We really need a great candidate that will fulfill with his word. And you know, obviously, I'm a Weber County resident, so yeah, definitely. And you know, and the reason for this podcast is to raise our voices and make everything known, so everybody can get to know you and what you stand for, and you know, what you're willing, you know, to do, you know, for the sake of good living here in Weber County. So we are approaching to the last part of the podcast. So I just want to thank you so much for being here with us. And before we leave, what is it that you would like to tell everybody, you know, in Weber County, you know, to vote for you?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Vote for Toby Molesky for Weber County Clerk Auditor. That's number one. And just to let him know that I am not doing this for a job or for a career. I am doing it to make a difference. I see an area that I know something about, and I'm willing to dive in, get the job done, and be accountable and transparent to the county residents. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in there, do my job, and when that's done, I'm going to leave. Simple as that.
And how many terms are you thinking about doing? Just one, or
right now? I can tell you one.
Okay.
I'm 53 years old. Yeah, 53 years old, and I have things I'd like to do with my life.
I agree.
I just feel the calling right now to make these changes, and I want to do those items I said. Make those changes and get out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have to really talk me into doing something else, but at this stage in my life, I've got a new grandbaby, 19 month old now. Thank you. That's the best in the world. Kids were great, but grandkids are better.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I have things I want to do, but I feel this calling. And so I'm certainly going to try and fulfill that. Get my job done, get out, and let somebody else take the reins and move us forward here in Weber County.
Nice. That is fantastic. And that's that's definitely the same the same perspective that I have, you know, like if I ever run for office. But anyway, that will be in its own due time. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much, Toby. I definitely appreciate you. Thanks, everybody, for being here with us. And remember, this is the Nacho Show, and we'll see you next time.